So our reading today is from Joshua chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 1. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So, when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is in flood all during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground.
It's really good to see you this morning, to be back in the building and to be able to worship God here together. And a very special welcome to those people who've joined us on YouTube this morning and Facebook Live. We did have a series planned, and that's now being postponed to next week because I felt God gave me a message that he wanted me to preach this morning, a message that I think is for us as a church, but I really feel is for some individuals within the life of the church. And it's a message of about new things that God wants to do, because today is a significant day. We're back in the building after 7 months, and it's exciting, isn't it? I was thinking this morning, I don't have to get up, go up to my office and turn the laptop on and look at a screen all morning. We're here together. And for me, that's really exciting. But also, we're excited because actually we're live streaming today. And this is, you know, for some of you go, yeah, it's just technology. But it's not. It's a wonderful opportunity for us to share our message with the wider community. And this is not just for COVID, this is us going forward, that we can share the word of God with the wider community, even into, you know, different parts of this country, maybe even to the world. Perhaps we should be called Buckskin International Church, I don't know. But let's dream big, shall we? So this morning, I want to talk about Joshua. Now, Joshua is one of my favorite characters in the Old Testament. I love the story of Joshua. And chapter 3, we're going to think about crossing the Jordan. But there are two phrases that really excited me as I prepared this message. The first one is from verse 4. If you're following this in your Bible, the first thing it says is, "Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before." And kind of get a sense that that's where we are. Some of us are. We don't know where we're going, do we? You know, as kind of, you know, by now, some of you have planned your holidays for next year, haven't you? You're thinking, well, next year, this is where we're going to go. And there's others of us thinking, well, we don't know what's going to happen next year, do we? You know, they're now talking about COVID being around till next summer and maybe beyond. And so, you know, plans are kind of going out the window. And here God says, you don't know which way you go. You will know which way you're going since you've never been that way before. So God is saying, I'm going to give you direction. The second thing is found in verse 5, where it says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And maybe for some of us, COVID has kind of brought us down. But what I want to do this morning is lift us up as we hear the word of God, that God can and will be doing amazing things. Because some of us, maybe we've lost sight of what our God can do. So for me, this is a message for the church, but also for individuals. So let's think about the book of Joshua, shall we? Moses, we know in the book of Exodus, was called to lead the people. He was called to lead them out of Egypt into the promised land. But we get to the end of Exodus and Deuteronomy. We see that God says, actually, Moses, you've taken the people so far. Now someone else is going to lead them into the promised land. And that person was Joshua. So he was given two tasks. One was to lead 1 million people across into the promised land. And then secondly, his job was to take the promised land. And he'd been there before. He'd seen the kind of people who live there. They were big and scary, unlike me. They were huge. And they were warriors. And there was fortified cities. And God was saying to Joshua, you're the man to lead the people, this 1 million people. You're the man to lead them into the promised land. You think Boris has got a hard job, don't you? Brexit, COVID. Think about Joshua. He's going to lead these people. And they've been wandering around in the desert for 40 years. And him and Caleb were the only people who were kind of left. Him and Caleb and his family were the only people left after leaving Egypt. And in Joshua chapter 1, God says to Joshua, listen, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I'm about to give them. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. And here was the promise to Joshua. You are going to do this. And so what we see in chapter 2, Joshua sends spies to Jericho. They check it out. People in Jericho are terrified. And so Joshua's got this green light. We are now going to go. We're going to take the promised land. And there are three things I want to bring out this passage this morning that I think are really key. The first thing is about God's timing. They had been wandering for 40 years, and now was the moment to cross. Now was the moment to cross. You see, Joshua had been waiting, waiting, and waiting. And maybe we feel a bit like that. We've just been waiting, haven't we? 7 months. We've been kind of COVID in COVID world and waiting for something to break, waiting for something to happen. And here it was going to happen for Joshua and the people of Israel. They come to the place of Shittim. It was about 15 miles. They traveled to that place. And, from Shittim, they were there to the River Jordan. 15 miles they traveled. And for you and I, you know, actually 15 miles is down to Winchester or to Reading, isn't it? And we just pop in our cars and off we go. We drive and we're there in 10, well, sorry, no, not that fast. We're there in 20 minutes. Because we drive at the speed limit, and you know, 15 miles is nothing. But I thought about these people. Actually, do you know what? They had to walk everywhere. Yeah. You know, and you know, some of us, we've been out walking, we've, you know, we started that whole process, but it's hard, isn't it? Yeah. You think about the people of Israel, they had to walk around and around hundreds and hundreds of miles they must have covered. And God was in it all. He had his time. And he brought the people to the edge of the Jordan River at just the right time. And I've been thinking about that. You know, we're just waiting, aren't we, for this thing to end. But what I want to say to you this afternoon is, we haven't got there yet, this morning, that God has his time. Yeah. And we may be very frustrated with God's time, but you see, God is never early, God is never late, he is always on time. And what's happening now is in God's calendar, God's clock, God's stopwatch. It is all in his time. And we need to realize that. And maybe we need to learn to wait on God. And some of us are not very patient, are we? Because we live in a world that flies at 100 miles an hour and everything is instant. I've just joined Amazon Prime and stuff arrives the next day. How exciting is that? I don't have to wait for stuff anymore. It arrives, but we're terrible at waiting. And we live in a world that wants everything now, now, now. And here we see that the people had to wait and wait and wait till God's timing. And what we need to do when we think about God's timing is we just need to trust him in what he's doing. And I know for some of you, you've got your own businesses. For some of you, things are really tough. But what I want to say is God has his time. Let's trust him. And let's wait for him, because he will do it in his time. I heard the other day about the great Blondin, and he was a tightrope walker from France, Charles Blondin, and in 1859 he was the first person to cross Niagara Falls on a tightrope, 400 meters. And 50 meters above the fall, he walked across. And then he started to become quite daring. He went over, it says he went over on a sack. He went over on stilts, how you do that, on a tightrope. He went on a bicycle. He even carried a stove to the middle of the tightrope over Niagara Falls. And he actually cooked an omelette. On one occasion, he crossed blindfold with a wheelbarrow. And when he reached the other side, the crowd was saying, "You're brilliant, Blondin, you are amazing." And then he stopped and addressed the crowd and he said to them, "Do you believe I can carry a person across in the wheelbarrow?" And the crowd said, "Yes, yes, yes. You are the greatest tightrope walker in the world. You can do anything." And Blondin then said, "Okay, get in the wheelbarrow." And at that point, nobody did, surprisingly. You see, they thought he was great. They felt he could do it, but the simple thing was they had to trust him. And I wonder, as we face all these things at the moment, whether we are truly trusting God. My car doesn't have a sat-nav. And I know, you know, I'm trying to change that. Looking at new cars and, you know, is there one out there with a beautiful sat-nav I could have? But actually, sat-navs are really interesting, aren't they? Because they do two things for you. Firstly, they say to you, this is the way to go. And then secondly, they tell you when you're going to arrive. And we use it on our phone, we use Waze, it's great. But actually, God is the greatest sat-nav, isn't it? Because he says, this is the way to go, and this is when you're going to arrive. And again, you know, when the sat-nav starts talking to you, you have to decide, well, am I going to listen to it, or am I going to do my own thing? And you know what happens when you do your own thing? I would say to you today, God has his time in what he's doing, and it's about trusting him. The second thing I want to talk about is God's divine intervention. God's divine intervention. You see, the ark was there, and basically the officers went around the camp. They said to everybody, "You've got to get ready, because today we're going to do something amazing." Consecrate yourselves. God's going to do something amazing. Because what's going to happen is that we're going to take the ark to the edge of the river. The Levites are then going to step into the river. And as they step into the river will part. Literally, it's going to split apart and you'll be able to walk across. Why was that? Because, you see, basically, the ark was the presence of God and the power of God, and they knew that. And it says that actually they were to stand 1,000 yards away from the ark. 1,000 yards, because it was such a scary thing. It's about two-thirds of a mile, isn't it? They had to stand away from this thing. And when the ark went into the water, the river actually parted. The river actually parted. The river, as it says in chapter 3, was actually in flood. And it was round about the month of Nisan, which is March or April. And the snows had melted on Mount Hermon, and they'd come down and they flowed into the Lake of Galilee, and then the water flowed down the Jordan to the Dead Sea. And it wasn't just a kind of gentle flow, it was a torrent. This was a torrent of water that was flowing down. It said that the river was probably 90 to 100 feet where Israel crossed. It would have been 3 to 10 feet deep. But because it was in flood, probably even deeper and even wider. And it was flowing very fast. And then we see this miracle. Can you imagine how Joshua felt? He says he got up early, beginning of chapter 3. He would have spent all night talking to God. And then God gave him a plan. And can you imagine him going to speak to the people saying, well, guys, this is the plan. What's going to happen is that river there, we're going to cross it. We have to do is the priests have to go into it. And you can imagine how people felt. We're like, this guy's crazy. Look at the river. We can never cross that. And you can imagine this guy thinking, well, here's my wife, here's my three kids, here's my donkey, here's my cow, here's my kitchen sink, because I carry that around with me everywhere, and we're going to walk across there. You've got to be kidding. But see, as they watched, as the priests put their foot into the water, the river parted. This was an amazing miracle. God had done what he promised. You see, Joshua stood up and told the people, this is what's going to happen. And God delivered. And I want to say to you this morning, maybe you are wondering what God is going to do. And I really feel that for some of us, we've lost sight of who God is, because we feel the world is kind of locked into this COVID thing. We have lost sight that the God we worship is the God who can do immeasurably more than we can all ask or imagine. And when we think about our circumstances, when we think about our situations, may we think about the lack of what we don't have. Let's look to the God who is the God of abundance, the God who promises to lavish things upon us. Let's look to him, because he can do more than we can ask or imagine. There are different things that are needed. People have different things that they're praying for, but let's keep going. Let's put our faith in God, because God is able to deliver. And maybe this morning, there are specific things that you need to ask God for. Let's do that, shall we? Let's seek God and ask him that he might perform those miracles. What is very, very interesting is, if we go back to what, I think it's verse 5 or 6, it talks about the fact that the people were to consecrate themselves. And then it says, and then today you will see God do amazing things. Yeah. It's almost like God is saying, actually, if you consecrate yourself, then I can do something amazing. What does consecrate mean? It basically means, and I'll give you a dictionary definition, it's to dedicate to a sacred purpose. Mm-hmm. And what he was saying to the people was, give yourself to God. And when you give yourself to God, then you're going to see the miracles. And again, it's about where do we look when things aren't working out. So often we can look at the world and the circumstance, but I would say give yourself to God. Give all that you have going on in your life, give it to God and wait to see what he will do. Commit your ways to him, it says in Proverbs 3, and he will make straight your paths. Don't hold back. Give him your life and your circumstances. There's one more thing I want to talk about, and that's the promise of God. And in this passage, we see the promise of God fulfilled in two ways. Firstly, there's the immediate promise. You see, Joshua said to the people, the river is going to stop flowing. That's leadership for you, and leadership with faith and vision. And what happened was the river actually stopped. So the promise was there. Secondly, was the long-term fulfillment. You see, the promise of the promised land was given to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. It was then given to Moses and then to Joshua. And people were waiting, 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 as I've said. And all of a sudden, the fulfillment was now coming true. It's interesting, isn't it? When you look at the people of Israel, you know, they were quite a ragged bunch. There was a million people. Of those, 440,000 were fighting men. And they were going into a land of giants. They were going into a land fortified with fortified cities. Really, they stood no chance. But God said, this is your land. And Joshua, everywhere you put your feet, you are going to get. What a promise. And God started to fulfill it on that day. The river parted and they started to enter the promised land. We heard last week from Paul Lynch that in the Bible there are 7,000 promises. I haven't verified that myself. I haven't counted them yet, but there probably are that many. And the Bible says that every single one of them is yes in Christ. And the truth is, you know, as people, perhaps we make promises. And we break those promises. But God never breaks a single promise. Because he is not a man that would lie, it says in Numbers. God keeps his promises. Even when we don't see it, he is still working, the song tells us. We had to buy a new hob this week. How exciting in the Ross household. The hob died, so we then had to find a new one. And you search the internet these days, you don't get the courage. You go shopping on the internet, don't you? And there we are, hours, literally hours, trying to find one. And the great thing was, we were going through, and I found this website, and the price was amazing. I thought, that's so cheap. And then you start to think, why is it so cheap? Why would they sell it for that price? And so you do the thing you have to do. You put your credit card details in, not knowing what's going to happen, don't you? Then you get an email if it doesn't go into junk. And then you wait and wait and wait. And the blessed news in my household was the hob arrived on Wednesday. Hallelujah! You see, what they said they would do, they delivered. And that's what God is like. Yeah. He will not let you down. And he will fulfill the promises that he's made. Do you know, this year for us as a church was going to be a wonderful year. We had great plans. God was starting to do amazing things. Then everything got shut down. And you kind of feel, oh. But what I hold on to is that God has still promised those things. And this world may have changed, but actually God is still going to deliver on what he said. And it will be in his time, it will be in his way, but God is going to build this church and God is still going to do amazing things amongst us. And I know that through this time he has been doing amazing things. We want to thank God for people who have been healed. We want to praise God for businesses that are still going. We want to praise God for people who have jobs still. People whose lives are being changed by God. We thank God for that. But God has got still more he wants to do. And God still will deliver to this church all that he's promised. And we need to hold on to what God has said. So I hope this morning that this story of Joshua, how God led him into a promised land, encourages you. Because I believe God is taking us, each one of us, perhaps into a new time, different spheres. And God is going to bless you. God is going to completely fulfill the promises that he's made. Today, it was very sad that Mr. Lee Kun-hee died. And you all know who he is, don't you? You haven't got a clue, have you? Bless him. He was the chairman and third son of the founder of the Samson Group. Remember Samson? Who now do your mobile phones, your dishwashers, your tumble dryers. They do TVs. He joined the company in 1968 and became chairman in 1987. And you know, at the time when he was there, Samson was seen as the producer of cheap, low-quality products. And under his leadership, he made radical reforms that were introduced into the company. And in 1993, he said to all his employees, "Let's change everything except our wives and kids." Amen. That's great, isn't it? Let's change everything but our wives and kids. And in fact, his firm burned its entire stock of 150,000 mobile phones because they were so rubbish. And he started again and dedicated himself to build that company. And look where it is today. I think that's a brilliant story, isn't it? Of someone who dedicated themselves to build something. And as I finish, this is what I want to say to you. Let's go back to what Joshua said to the people. Consecrate yourselves. For tomorrow, God is going to do something amazing. And I really believe that's a word for us today as the church. That God is going to do something amazing. And what we need to do as his people, we need to consecrate ourselves. We need to give ourselves to him and to his purpose. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you for this amazing story. A story that shows what an amazing God you are. That you have your people and you made them promises and you fulfilled every single one of them. And we thank you for the faith of Joshua, who literally stepped out for you. And I want to pray this morning for ourselves and for your people, Lord God, that firstly they would look to you, that they would fix their eyes on their God. But Father, they would realize that you are a God who can do more than they can ask or imagine. I want to pray, Father, that they would literally put their lives into your hands and they would trust you and that they would dedicate themselves to you. And Father, I pray that as they do, they would know your blessing. They would understand your timing. They would see the miraculous. They would see your provision. They would see your blessing upon them. And Father God, I want to pray that they would know the fulfillment of all your promises in their lives. Father God, we want to pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.